Take your Bible, turn to 2 Kings chapter 5, if you would. 2 Kings, we're not in Romans today, okay? That's because God whispered something in my heart this week. And I was just thinking a while ago, while we were singing, God kind of laid something on my heart. I want us to do a little pretending today. You know how we used to, when we were kids, we're going to pretend, we're going to act like this was something. And I want us to pretend a little bit today. And really, it's not really pretending because this is how it is. Instead of us calling it Bethel Church today, let's call it Grace Memorial Hospital. And everybody in here is in the hospital. Okay? So this is the hospital. Jesus said, it's not those that don't need, that are not sick that need a physician. It's them that are sick. Okay? We're the ones that need the doctor. We're the ones that need the physician. Can I hear you say amen? So all of us today are going to be in the hospital because we have a sickness on us. We have a disease in us. And I'll tell you what kind of led me in that direction. I just thinking about the message and thinking about what I know, or I hope, what I believe God's going to say this morning. And when you're sick in the hospital, do you look down on other people that are in the hospital that are sick? Okay? And I want you to get this. A lot of times, we'll be bad sick, miserable sick. And we'll see somebody that they're wheeling down the hallway, tubes running in and out of them, and nurses and doctors in attendance and things like that, and we kind of get an idea of what's going on. And when we see that person, I've never done this, I don't think you've ever done this either, when we see that person, we never say, huh, I wonder what their problem is. We look at them and say, man, I tell you what, I'm glad I'm not that bad. I'm glad I'm not that sick. Amen? I remember several years ago, God was just really just dealing with my heart. And it was in the wintertime, and I come down sick. Started out with the flu that was going around. Everybody was catching the flu. Well, I caught it. Coughing my head off and everything like that, and we took some of the kids in the school on a little trip, and by the time we come back, I didn't think I was going to make it, and I come in here gasping for air, couldn't breathe, and Lisa took me over to the emergency room and said I had the flu that was going around, had it real bad, almost collapsed there in the emergency. I mean, it was bad sick. And couldn't catch my breath or anything like that. And when you can't breathe, I mean, that's when you think you're going to die and all this stuff. And I don't recommend not breathing, by the way. But anyway, they had so many people there in the emergency room, they had us two in a room. And I was in a kind of a back room there, and I was in one in there. And they pulled the curtain closed. They brought somebody else in. I'm laying there just, I mean, I'm miserable. Had pneumonia and had the flu and everything else. And I was remembering what David had said in the Psalms. He's talking about how thankful he was in his infirmities. And when you're sick, it reminds you of who God is. Okay? And it reminds you that you're not him. Because God ain't sick, never been sick. And I laid there for a long time, and there was, I think, a couple women in there. And I know one of them was, I can't remember what was going on. I didn't hear it all. But you know how when they get busy in the ER, they'll put you in there and they'll give you some drugs instantly, and then they'll run off and leave you for, you know, the minimum 4-hour stay that you got to stay in the emergency room. So I'm in there all by myself, and the Lord just impressed upon me, and the lady was laying over there, and I got her attention. I'm just laying there. I said, ma'am. And she said, yeah. I said, I don't know what's going on with you, but I said, could I pray for you? And boy, they did. They just, well, yes, please. And so I just laid there and I just began to pray. Began to pray for these people and pray for their healing and pray that God will bless them. And if they weren't saved, that God would save them. And never heard. I don't even know who those people were. Well, I don't. Even if they were sitting here today, I wouldn't know who they were. But God laid it on my heart to pray for them. When you're sick, you have compassion upon people that are sick. And I'll tell you, for all of that we think our kids are, just go to Cardinal Glennon Hospital or go to Children's Hospital and walk up and down the hallways and see all those kids in there with IVs and no hair. And you never, I've never seen a situation where I felt like looking at a kid, come on, what's wrong with you? It's not how it is. We look at kids that are in the hospital that have to go through those things, and we think that's not right. That's a shame. That's not right that they have to go through that, that they have their childhood taken away from them. You need to understand how God works. We don't understand God, but God is wise, and God always knows what He's doing. Okay? You need to trust Him. I do. I trust Him. But when I see especially children sick, I never look at them and say, come on, get over it. Come on. If you just get up, you'd be fine. Get up on your own 2 feet. That's not Bible Christianity. Bible Christianity does not tell you to get up, stand up on your own TV. Come on, knock it off. I may preach knock it off a lot, but God's the one that's going to have to knock it off. Are you listening to me? Say amen. And what I'm saying is, we're all sitting here this morning, we're all in the hospital, and we all have a sickness. It's equated to leprosy in the Bible. Leprosy in the Bible is a picture of sin. And there is not one among us who is not a leper. So this is, in fact, I'll give it another name. This is the Bethel Grace Memorial Leper Colony, of which all of us are lepers. Okay? 2 Kings chapter 5. This is in the days of Elisha, the prophet. The Bible says, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria. That is an exalted, he's the 5-star general over the armies of Syria. No one is in higher power except the king in Syria. In fact, if you study the Bible out real well, you'll find out that it's very rarely in the Bible, the person who's in authority, very rarely do they make the decisions. It's usually those that counsel them. And ladies, do not trade in your God-given place in your marriage for a place that was not designated to you by God. The women are not in authority in the home. The husband is, but the women are almost always the counselor of the home. How many of y'all can say amen to that? You know what I'm saying is true. Okay? And listen, I'm just saying, don't trade in your God-given role for what the world says you can have, because it's not as good as your God-given role. God saved an entire nation. He saved the nation of Israel at the mouth of Queen Esther. She was not in authority. And she went politely before the king, knowing her place. But she stood and she counseled King Ahasuerus, and God saved her people through her counsel. That's a far better deal than anything. Somebody say amen. And I'm just saying, you look all through the Bible, and that's how it is. That's why I believe husbands are to take the position of leadership in their home that God gave them. But husbands, listen. Listen. Listen and pray, and ladies, pray this too. Husbands, pray that your wife will always give you godly counsel, and God will bless that. Ladies, pray that God will give you godly counsel, and God will bless that. Can I hear an amen out of somebody? That's how it's to work. Now, listen, I'm not the one that wrote the book. God is. Be mad at Him. Okay? You just crawl off somewhere and say, God, I hate you, and let that be the end of it. Okay? I'm just telling you how the book works. And I'll just throw that in there. But here we have Naaman. He's captain of the host of the king of Syria. The king of Syria is one thing. Naaman's the one that's going to tell him, now, king, here's what I recommend. I think this is what we ought to do. And that's what the king pretty much, the king says, okay, I think that's a good idea. This is what we're going to do. And he'll listen to those who counsel him. That's why the Bible calls Jesus wonderful what? Counselor. Listen to his counsel. Listen to what he's trying to tell you. You can either take your advice from the world or you can take your advice from God. I've proved it and tested it, and I think God's right 100% of the time. He's never failed me and he's never told me wrong. Let me hear you say amen. Okay, now watch this. Now Naaman, captain of the king of the host of the king of Syria, he's an exalted man. Okay, he's in leadership. He probably started out as a buck private down in the army and worked his way up. And boy, he is the top dog. Now look at this. And was a great man with his master. That means the king had respect for him and listened to him and thought he was really good at what he was saying. And he was honorable. Okay, that means he didn't go around taking bribes everywhere, and he wasn't a dirty crook politician. He wasn't even a dirty general. He did what was honorable and what was right. Because by him, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. Now take a look at that. By him, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. God uses people. Somebody say amen. Now I'm going to ask you a question this morning. How would you like to be used by God? And you know, the world has defamed the English language so much that when we use the word use, sometimes it has a negative meaning. Well, they used me. They used me to do this. But I want to tell you something. I want to be used. I want to have some use in the kingdom of God. I want to fit in somewhere to the kingdom of God. I don't want to be an outcast. Listen, I've been an outcast. I don't like it. I don't like being outcast. I don't like people talking bad about me. And I don't like the names. And I didn't like it when I was a kid. And I don't like it now. But I want to be of some use to the kingdom of God. I want to be a blessing to God's kingdom. I want to be a blessing to God's people. I want to be a blessing to you sitting here today. I want to be a blessing to you. And I want God to use me to bring deliverance to somebody else. God saved me. I think he can save you. Somebody say amen. I think he can. He was also a mighty man in valor. Wasn't afraid. Had no fear. When the enemies came, Naaman never said, "Boys, I think we ought to run. This is bad." Naaman said, "Do it or die. Let's go get them." Because I do believe, in spite of what liberals think, I believe that something is worth fighting for. Amen. I think something is worth fighting for. But he was a leper. All of these things were said about Naaman and all the good things that he was and all the good things that he did and how honorable he was and how God used him. But he was a leper. And I want us to pray, and I want you to ask God to help me preach this and help me give it to you the way God has helped me with it and blessed me. And just ask God to help. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, dear God, for speaking this to me. Lord, I wasn't studying this. Lord, you just reminded me that it was there. And I thank you, dear God, Lord, for what you've spoken into my heart and how you've dealt with me. I thank you, dear God, Lord, for answering all my prayers and being so good to me, God. But God, I'm still a leper. And I know, dear God, that one of these days healing awaits. I know the River Jordan's just right near. But Father, I'm asking you, dear God, Lord, that you would let me be an encouragement to somebody, Lord, that's sitting here. Somebody that might be listening to this, God, and they're a leper. And I pray, God, Lord, that you just bless the message and bless the preaching of your word and honor your word in the hearts of these people. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, just very quickly on the deal on leprosy. God over and over in the Bible gives us types. He gives us pictures of things. He draws illustrations for us. God's a very good God. He's a very creative God. And he understands that we're children and we don't understand these deep things that are written here. And so what God will do is he'll draw pictures for us. And we don't see a lot of it today, but there is still leprosy around. But there's a lot of sicknesses around. But leprosy in the Bible was always a picture. If you had leprosy, according to the law, there was a term used for you and it was called unclean. It was called unclean. And there's all kinds of laws saying what you had to do and what you couldn't do. If you had leprosy on you, then the walls of your house had to be scrubbed down. And if it still came up that there was leprosy in that house, then basically God said you need to tear the whole house down, take every stone and every piece of mortar out and throw it outside the city and start all over again. And boy, there's a sermon right there. Amen. Every now and then we just got to stop, throw out all the old stuff and start all over again. Amen. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. And it's kind of like some of these houses get this creeping mold everywhere. And if it goes on so long, there's nothing they can do about it but just tear the whole house down and start all over again. So if you can imagine that, that's kind of what we're talking about here. But a person with leprosy was designated, according to the law, as unclean. Now, in the book of Romans, it talks a lot. In fact, all through the New Testament, it talks about uncleanness. And it's the uncleanness of sin. And I want to tell you something. Just because you're sitting here, and my wife was talking about a while ago, some of you got the memo. Everybody's wearing turquoise today. Even Antonio comes in. He's wearing turquoise and kind of this dark greenish-blue type thing. And everybody in here looks nice. Okay, we all like to put on nice clothes when we come to church and this and that and the other. And everybody looks respectable and decent and things like that. Maybe you got all prayed up before you came to the house of God. And I think that's wonderful. But the bottom line is, you're still a leper. You have uncleanness on you. We are unclean and we are very defiled people. And there's not anybody in this room that I'm not preaching to. Let me explain a little bit. I want you to think about Naaman for a minute. Here's this mighty captain and this great thing and all this stuff. And I want you to think about it. Leprosy, if you had leprosy. Leprosy is this bad, nasty, it's not cancer on the inside. It's sort of like a cancer on the outside. It is visible. Did you know there could very well be somebody in this room today, right now, that has some sort of internal problem, maybe even cancer, and nobody here would know about it. But if you had leprosy, we would know. And so you know what happens when people have leprosy? They wear long sleeve shirts. And they button their shirt up. And they wear long pants, or they wear a long dress down to the floor. And they'll cover up as much as they possibly can to keep everybody from looking upon the sores and the scabs and the terrible rottenness. Leprosy is a nasty, icky, grotesque, it's disgusting. Leprosy is you corrupting from the outside in. You'll eventually lose skin tissue and then eventually lose muscle and bone. And back in the old days, I don't know how they treat it now, but back in the old days, the remedy to treat leprosy was to just try to cut off as much ahead of the leprosy as they could. That was the remedy. And that's how leprosy is. I don't know about it now. I don't think there's a cure to this day for it. Is there? Okay. I don't know what that is, but anyway, okay. I imagine it has something to do with the cross. Amen, okay? That's the cure for leprosy. But here's the thing, okay? Leprosy is something in this room that everybody has. And I want you to think of it this way. It's things that we try to keep covered up. We don't want everybody to know about it. Am I sprechen your Deutsch? I'm not talking about how you were, you know, kind of mad one day and you let out a little cuss word and everybody in the family heard it. You know, well, okay, I'll get over that. You know, please forgive me. I'm not talking about things like that. I'm talking about these deep, nasty sins that are everywhere in the church that we wear long sleeves over and keep covered up and keep our coats buttoned and everything else, things that we cover up. Okay, I wrote down some things yesterday. It's bad. Lustfulness, adultery, fornication. Just because you're saved, that don't mean you don't lust. Amen? Somebody called me the other day. It's a pastor of a church who wants me to come and teach at their church. And they said they'd just gone through a rough deal. There's all kinds of uncleanness in the church. And it's kind of left them, you know, with hardly much. They said a few years ago, the secretary stole about $54,000 out of the church treasury, just walked off with it. And that's why we say, oh, that church, all that. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, it's in every church. It's in every church. It's in Bethel Church. Let's get honest. Okay? We have sins that we want to keep covered up. We don't want everybody knowing about them. Can I hear you say amen? That's not happy preaching. This is not, amen, preacher. This is uncomfortable stuff. But remember, we're all in the same leper colony. And if you show up at the leper colony, what do you have? So you showed up. Okay? So let's be honest. Okay? Roy will tell you, these guys show up AA meetings. I ain't a drunk, ain't got a problem. Well, they showed up. Amen? means they got a problem. And speaking of that, alcohol or substance abuse, those are things we try to keep hidden. When we have liquor, and we know we're not supposed to have it, so we keep it hid away somewhere so nobody finds out where it is. People always have to do what? Then you forget where you put it, okay? And somebody else finds it, amen? You ever had that happen, Roy? Somebody found a stash a time or two, okay? I like Roy because Roy don't mind being honest about what he used to be and what God saved him out of. You ought to be honest, amen? I'm not saying you have to tell everybody everything that's going on in your life, but I like him because he sits there, nods his head and said, yes, that's how it works. And instead of you denying that there's a problem in your life, get honest with yourself that you've got a problem. You've got leprosy. You've got it. Okay? You can go get a second opinion and a third opinion. In fact, you can get one out of the Old Testament, one out of the New Testament, and they both agree you're sick. Okay? Alcohol and substance abuse. Now, I could even mention here prescription pharmaceuticals. Okay? You're an abuser of drugs. And I'm not saying there's not drugs that don't help us. I think there are some. Amen? And the reason why they're pharmaceutical, they're meant to be controlled substances to where you can't just get to them all you want. Can I hear you say amen? But everybody, the people who are hooked on these things, they know ways around them, don't they? What is it called, doctor shopping? You find all the doctors that know that they can make money off writing you prescriptions everywhere, and people doctor shop, and they go get prescriptions for all kinds of pain medicines that they don't need, and this, because they're hooked on it. And we don't go around telling everybody we're hooked on drugs, but we're hooked on drugs. We don't go around telling everybody that we got bottles of whiskey laying everywhere, but that's exactly what we got. And we like to keep it hidden. We like to keep it covered up, but the truth of it is, it's a problem. And they don't go away by themselves. Covetousness, financial issues, debt, things like that. Things we try to keep hid, things we try to keep covered up. The fact that we lust after the material things of this world, and this world now provides for us an opportunity where we can have a bunch of credit cards and go into debt a bunch of stuff and try to keep that covered up. There was one church I was made aware of. The lady in the church that was writing the checks, she started writing checks for herself. You know what she had? She had a gambling problem. And she was writing church checks to cover up the gambling problem. Okay? And to try to cover it up. And finally it caught up with her. And by the way, yours will too. Be sure what? Pretty soon, you won't be able to cover everything up. Pretty soon, you won't be able to do that. Envy of others or jealousy. Jealous issues, envy issues. We try to be nice to people on the outside, but inwardly we don't like them, we hate them, and we try to cover it up. And that'll eat you up just like a cancer, just like leprosy. Backbiters. People that are nice to your face, but they're going around behind your back all the time, talking about you, stirring up grief, stirring up strife, this and that and the other. And you're pretty good, you probably are a backbiter, and you're pretty good at covering it up. Okay? How about a Jezebel spirit in a church or in a family or in any kind of situation? The spirit Jezebel always works behind the scenes, doesn't she? She'll always work in private. She'll try to keep everything covered up and hidden and secret and everything. Mystery Babylon. She's called Mystery Babylon because everything's a big mystery. But these are just, I haven't even touched the hem of the garment of some things that we could preach on this morning. But I'm not trying to make you feel bad. Maybe I am, I don't know. I'm just trying to get us aware of the fact that we got things that we don't want to deal with, but at some point we're going to have to deal with them. Because if we don't, they'll kill us. Can I hear somebody say amen? Okay? And so we try to cover everything up. We try to hide it as long as we can. And on the outside, we may seem normal, may seem like everything's okay, and we might even be mighty men and this and that and the other. And let me say this, okay, because that's what here was Naaman. Because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. Naaman, was used by God, but he was still a leper. Now, I'm going to kind of focus on that here in a little bit. Okay? But I just want you to just spend some time this morning being honest between you and God. I don't need to know what it is. I didn't sit down and say, okay, I know so-and-so in this church is this, and I know so-and-so is that. I didn't sit down and write your name out on a piece of paper and say, I'm going to preach on this. Okay? I try to make it my business not to know everything there is to know about you. Somebody say amen to that. Okay? And it's okay. I don't have to know. I don't want to know. Okay? So I didn't write your name down or I say, Lord, how can I reach so-and-so? That's not what I did. I just wrote some things down that are primarily in just about every church in America. And even though I may not know about it, I know that they would be apparent here if they were to be exposed. Can I get an amen out of just about everybody here? Can I hear you say amen? So anyway, that's just a partial picture. Okay? That's just a partial picture of the sins that we have on us, the leprosy that we have on us. It's just a little glimpse of it. Okay? Now, I'm not standing up here pointing my finger at everybody, because as I said a while ago, every person, every minister, every preacher is a leper. Because like Jimmy said this morning in Sunday school, I'm human. Okay? So, I mean, that's just how it is. We're all the same. We're all leper. Oh, when you're in the leper colony, you don't look at another leper and say, oh, you disgust me. Amen? Amen? We don't do that to one another. We don't do that to lost people out here in the world that don't know anything about the gospel, and we ought not do it inside of here. We ought not look at one another and say, well, you disgust me. You make me sick. I wish you'd leave. We don't do that. And if we did, we ought to repent. But anyway, so that's who Naaman is, and that's who you are today. So if you're here today and you're already under conviction, praise the Lord, because you're sitting next to somebody that's under conviction. Amen? And you're being talked to by a pastor that's been under conviction. Amen? Okay? Now, I want to tell you something. Leprosy, I don't know of anybody that just decided to go out and get leprosy. Amen? Okay? I don't know of anybody that said, you know what? I wonder what that's like. Okay? But a lot of times, we think that we can live how we want to and it not affect us. That's not true. Okay? Your sin always has consequences. It always has consequences. And I know that even someone with leprosy, there was all kinds of precautions in the law to keep the leprosy from spreading throughout the whole camp. And if those guidelines were not followed, then pretty soon there would be an epidemic of leprosy out everywhere. That's why when someone who had leprosy, if they were going to come through the streets, what'd they have to do? Unclean! Unclean! They'd have to announce it in front of everybody so as not to infect the entire camp of Israel. How'd you like to do that? You are, by the way, by coming here. Right. Unclean! I'm unclean! Somebody say amen! Now watch this. I'm just going to cover just parts of this. If you want to read this story on your own, that's fine. I want you to look at verse 3. In verse 2, let's read verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies that had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Who do you think put the little maid in Naaman's house? I love God. Amen. Everybody says, well, that's slavery. God had a purpose in it. God had a purpose in this little maid. You know what? And I like to teach about typology. In the Bible, women or girls, especially maids, because they're a virgin, they're a picture of the church. And so watch this. Look at verse 3. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. You know who I like to think this little maid is? I would like to think this little maid is Bethel Church, Festus, Missouri. Amen. that knows that there's a remedy for the sickness of leprosy that's on Naaman. We know the cure, somebody says. Just like I said, I don't know if there's a cure in case it. Yep, there is. Bless God, if I ever got leprosy, guess who I'm going to? HK, right here. What do we do about this? And she'll say, you know, there's something here that's going to cure all that. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that somebody's got the answer for the problems that are in my life. Somebody say amen. And wouldn't it be great if we had us a church here that was like a little maid, and we might, you know what we might do? We might complain about how we have it so bad. We might complain that we're having to serve somebody else. But I want to tell you something. You just never know what position God's going to put you in to get His greatest glory and His victory. Somebody say amen. You just never know. Quit your complaining. Quit carrying on like everything's not fair to you. Quit doing that. And wouldn't it be great if God would take this little bitty church, a little maid. It wasn't a mega maid. Amen. She didn't represent a church with 20,000 people in it, sitting in a big basketball arena. She was just a little maid. She was nothing. But she knew the truth. And she knew the remedy. And it doesn't take a church of 500 people. It doesn't take a church of 120 people. It'll take a church of 50 people sitting here that knows that we got the truth and the remedy. Somebody say amen. You know what I'm preaching to you? If you know somebody that's a leper, say, I know there's a man. I know there's a man of God that can cure leprosy. I know there's a man that can forgive sin. Somebody say amen. I know that through His blood and through His sacrifice on the cross, I know that you can be justified with God as if you'd never done anything wrong in your life. I know that man. Whew. Thank God for a little maid. I wouldn't mind this church being a little maid before God, that God put in the right position, in the right place, at the right time, to say one thing to somebody. And that's what she did. By the way, she didn't make stuff up. She knew the man of God. She knew Elisha. She knew what he had done. And she didn't have to make it up. She didn't have to come up with a bunch of false stuff to hype it up. She didn't say, well, millions are flowing in there every day. Praise God to the big healing center that he's got. She didn't know that. She just knew that there was a man that could heal Naaman of his leprosy. And I would to God. By the way, ladies and young ladies, I would to God that God would raise up some young ladies out of this church that would be little maids. That had a, listen to me, that had a servant's heart and not a Jezebel spirit. That had a servant's heart. And if you didn't do anything in your life, but tell somebody that you know a man that can cure their disease, then ladies, you've got it made. Okay? What a prayer for our church, to pray for the young ladies of our church. You know what I found out last week? You may here know who Katy Perry is. Wicked. She makes herself famous last year with a song called I Kissed a Girl, and I liked it. And millions upon millions of teenagers listen to her. Her newest song out now this year, the big hot single, is My Boyfriend's an Alien. She talks about how he's got different DNA, and he does things for her that nobody else could. And I mean, it's sick. Her mom and daddy were preachers. I don't want any of our girls turning into Katy Perry or Britney Spears or Lady Gaga. I don't want that. If all you ended up being was a little maid, and yet you could tell somebody, I know a man. Be what God wants you to be. Okay? Let me move on. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 13. You remember the story Naaman came. He came with all these gifts and all this stuff, and he came to Elisha's house, and Elisha would not even present himself. He just sent his servant and told his servant, tell Naaman to go dip in the River Jordan 7 times. Okay? And I'll get to that here in a minute. But Naaman was mad because he thought that there would be some great big protocol ceremony, because he had all these gifts and he wanted to see the man of God, and he wanted to offer him all these presents and gifts, and there was a bunch of gold involved and raiment, new clothes and everything like that. And Elisha, being obedient to the Lord, sent his servant to the door and said, tell him to go dip in the River Jordan. Said he didn't want a big scene. It wasn't a big show. And by the way, if that's what you want in a church, it's not going to happen here. Okay, we're not about to put on a big show for everybody, because that's probably what you wanted. What you wanted was some big wing-ding show where you can look good in the house of God. We're not doing that. Okay, because remember, you're a leper. Okay, so anyway, it made Naaman mad. It made him angry. And he took his stuff and loaded up his stuff and he said, boys, let's go. And he took off, mad. And one of his servants, in fact, you look in verse 13, 2 Kings chapter 5, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? You know what I get out of that? Let's get back to your leprosy. Okay, let's get back to your leprosy. Number one, we like to keep it hid. We like to keep it covered up. We don't want everybody to know about it. Number two, listen to me. Though sin brings pleasure for a season, and it does. I don't care if you got a potty mouth. Boy, it feels good when those words. And you can substitute other words for cuss words, and they don't feel the same. Right? Okay? It's not the same. Anybody ever had non-alcoholic beer? It's not the same, is it, Roy? No way. And sin has pleasure for a season. But down in the deep recesses of your heart, when you get alone with just between you and God, you weep and you cry and you say, God, I would do anything if I would never, ever, ever sin again. God, I would do anything. I would give everything that I had. And I'll tell you, that's how you know you're right with God. When you have an idea of, I would do anything to have more sin, you're not right with God. Hell is waiting on you to show up. But if you have an attitude in your heart, in your life, you get alone and you say, God, I would give anything if I didn't have to be this way anymore. Amen. So that's what the servant was reminding Naaman. Naaman, you brought a lot of money. You brought all these gifts. You brought everything. If he had told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? Naaman, wouldn't you have given up your place of leadership? Naaman, wouldn't you have given up everything that you have in order to be cured? Naaman's trotting along, and all of a sudden, the horse stops. And he's thinking about that. He said, you know what? He's right. Now, I want to tell you something. Those of you here who are like that, you'd give up everything just to be clean. But God didn't ask you to do that. You don't have to pay millions of dollars to get forgiven of your sins. Roman Catholic Church has got the biggest scam on planet Earth going by telling you that if you pay them money, they'll forgive your sins. That's a lie! It's not the truth! And people dump tons of money into a system thinking that all their sins are going to be forgiven. Whew. I don't like that. But you'd give up anything. You would give everything you could just be clean and you could be free. And that's not what God requires. All he said was, go to the Jordan River. The Bible talks about rivers. It talks about water. And let me do this very quickly. In 2 Kings 5:14, then he went down and dipped himself seven times. The number seven is a number for completion and perfection and everything that's right about the Bible. Somebody say amen. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified how many times? Seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Aren't you glad that God saved people in the original manuscripts? And aren't you glad that God saved people with this old English Bible? Somebody say amen. Same Bible. God's still saving mankind. God's still, because it's purified. It's clean. And you know what? You know what the River Jordan represents here? Naaman was rejecting God's way. And I want you to listen to me. Because either A, you bought into the lie that you can keep it covered. You can't. B, you bought into the world's philosophies that through mental health techniques and positive mental imagery. You know what I was talking about? I don't remember talking about Sunday school or not, but this family contacted me last week. Said they're out. They can't go to their church anymore. Said their pastor's just giving them. I found out. They sent me the sermon notes. The pastor was preaching an entire sermon based upon a book that some guy wrote for sales marketing leadership techniques. How to be a better salesman. He preached a whole message out of a sales book. Don't fall into, listen, and our churches are full of that nonsense. Full of that garbage. Giving them positive mental attitudes. And boy, if you just think this way. And boy, if you'll just do this. And if you'll do these seven things. But then boy, it'll be great. And you won't have any problems anymore. That's a lie. It's not the words of man. It's the word of God that heals your soul and will cure your diseases. It's the word. He sent his word and healed them, the Bible says. And I'm going to tell you what, our country is sick and our churches are sick. Do you know why? They're not being scoured with the Word of God. But that's what the Bible says. And the Bible is being rejected by man. Nobody wants anything to do with it anymore. Listen, that Bible, that's old archaic Bible. I don't understand those words anyway. And those preachers just after my money. So I'm going to turn to Oprah Winfrey or Dr. Phil or whoever else is out there. I'm going to turn to National Enquirer magazine, Parents magazine, Ladies Home Journal. I'm going to turn to everything there is in the world out there. You'll accept all the junk that's being told to you, but you'll refuse the healing power of the Word of God in your life. And it makes you mad when I preach it. But I'm preaching it. Anyway, Christ washes the church in the water of the Word, the Bible says. We're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. The Bible is the River Jordan that's being rejected by the world. And yet therein lies the healing of God. Can I hear you say amen? Now, take your Bible, turn to 2 Kings chapter 7. By the way, I like this because when it finally worked out for Naaman, the Bible says his skin was like a little baby's. Amen? I like that baby skin. 2 Kings chapter 7. I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to just stop for a minute now, okay? You young men, I love you. Praise God for you, you young ladies, okay? You old men, older women, mature women. How about that one? Is that better? You ever had the devil standing on your chest at night, laughing at you, saying, what are you doing trying to serve God? You ever thought that you've been so bad in your life that God could never use you? You ever thought that? I have. And it's a real struggle for me sometimes. Sometimes I just want to close up and walk out. Because I got leprosy. There isn't a pastor I know of that don't have it. I can tell you, and I don't know their lives. I don't know their private lives. I just know what the Bible says. And I have some good friends that are pastors. I mean, I got men that when I have been really down and discouraged, those are the guys that I've called. Because I just really think very highly of them. But you know what the Bible says about them? They're lepers. And we're all awaiting our healing. Amen? Okay? We're waiting for that. It's going to come. But I've asked the question, God, how in the world can you use me? How can you do that? You need to understand something about God. He did not pick the very best people in this world to use. The Apostle Paul was an example of that. The Apostle Paul was a murderer. And he hated the gospel, and he hated Jesus, and he hated the Bible, and he was on his way to kill him when God saved him. Moses was a murderer. He had blood on his hands, and God saved him. And God used him. Samson was an adulterer. Samson had a ladies' problem. You go read the story of Samson's life, there wasn't a lady he turned down. In fact, the very night that he prevailed against the Philistines by putting the iron gates upon his shoulders and prevailing against them, he was in bed with a harlot in town. God is not interested in pick the very best people in the world. He's not interested in that. You know why? Because they steal too much glory away from him. God is interested in picking the weak, the wounded, the humiliated. That's who God's interested in picking. This lost world has had enough of cocky, arrogant preachers. Can I hear you say amen? They've had it. I'm sick of it myself. They've had enough of it. That's not who God calls. God calls the weak and he calls the lepers. I want you to look in 2 Kings chapter 7. The children of Israel, there's a famine going on and there's no food and everybody's starving to death. Now I want you to look at this. In 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 3, there were four lepers, men at the entering in of the gate. You know why they were there? They weren't allowed to live on the inside. How many of you have ever been an outcast? Say amen. Okay? Hey, listen, when everybody else wants to look down on you for who you used to be or who you might be now, I'm here to tell you there's a God that has never looked down on you. There's a God in heaven who has had nothing but compassion and mercy and forgiveness on you. A high priest who came and lived this life the way we live and understands and knows that we do want to be healed and that we do want to be better. And he's the one providing the way. God's never cast you out. That was man. There were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city. We shall die there. If we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall but die. You know what these guys... Hey, listen to me. You know what church people ought to be? People that have counted all things but loss. We're already dead. Amen? We are dead to sin, dead to the world. We are dead in Christ Jesus so that we may live in Christ Jesus. Somebody say amen. So you know what? You got four men here that don't care anymore. They don't care anymore. They've gotten past that. And you know what they're saying? You know, if we go inside the city, we're going to starve to death in there because there ain't no food. If we sit out here, we're going to starve to death and die. If we go into the host of the Syrians who have encamped against us, we might die there, or they might say, hey, here's some food, and we might live. But either way, what difference does it make how and where we die? What difference does it make? Because we're already dead. So watch this. You skip on. You know what they found out? They found out they went to the camp of the Syrians and there wasn't a single person there. They had fled the scene. You know why? God had made the Syrians hear the noise of chariots and horsemen. And they thought, oh my goodness, the fix is in. And they left with pots still on the stove. They left. And they left all their food, all their silver, and all their gold sitting there in the camp. And here comes these four guys, these lepers, going in. everybody at? They look in a tent and they see some cornbread and beans in there. Amen. When you're good and hungry, cornbread and beans is pretty good. Amen, Roy? And I don't care if you're not hungry. Okay? And they looked in there, it's a pot of cornbread and beans. So he, you know what he does? He starts eating. And he sees a treasure chest of gold and swords and everything like that. The Bible says they made two trips in and out of the city, hiding as much stuff as they could carry. And then they stopped themselves. And you know, they said, you know what? Hey, we're not doing right. This is a day of celebration. Let's go tell our people. Listen to this now. Let's go tell the people that kicked us out of the city, that don't want us around. Let's go tell them what we found. And God wrought a great deliverance. And he used four lepers to do it. Don't tell me God can't use you. And don't let the devil tell you God can't use you because you're too bad. You are too bad. And I got a God that's too good. You're a leper. You want healing? Here it is. You want God to use you? Let him use you. And he will. I promise you he will.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept His free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in His word, and God has never broken His word, God promised in His word that He would forgive you and that He would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.